In the name of our all-loving God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. I think we need to be reminded over and over that God's name is love. I say this because there are so many messages in our culture that mitigate against our believing that we are loved and lovable. The bottom line of the Bible is that God loves us totally and unconditionally. God hates nothing God has made, and all persons are made in God's image. And as St. Paul says, nothing can ever separate us from God's love. I want us to remember this as we unpack this difficult text. It's jarring to hear these phrases that we get in today's gospel. If you call your brother or sister a fool, you'll be liable to the hell of fire. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And these are words from the God of love, the heart of God made flesh, Jesus. This section in Matthew chapter 5 follows the Beatitudes and is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus makes a series of statements in his discourse. You have heard it said, followed by, but I say to you. In this passage, Jesus expands the meaning of the Ten Commandments. He expands them to an extreme and perhaps unrealistic level. He equates murder and anger, calling a sibling a fool with blasphemy, and lustful thoughts with adultery. He's teaching us that we are to follow the spirit of the law, not simply the black and white either-or interpretation. But instead of making it easier, Jesus is actually casting a wider net. Following Jesus always means being held to a higher standard. What matters most, he says, is that in all ways we do whatever we can to live righteously and hopefully, and in the process we will protect the well-being of others. Our relationships matter to God. Jesus is repeating this over and over throughout the Sermon on the Mount. How we live with one another is hugely important because God loves each of our neighbors, that is, every person in the whole world, as much as God loves us. To acknowledge that our relationships matter to God is to reinterpret the law in a way that I think is more faithful to this passage and the larger biblical witness about the nature and purpose of God's commands. Part of our struggle with Jesus' words today and probably every week is a cultural one. We are 21st century American Christians, and I think we're inclined to read scripture through our American individualistic eyes. In fact, we mostly read all of scripture that way, through our own perspective. But this is not the only way to read this text. Jesus isn't just admonishing individuals in his Sermon on the Mount. He is calling forth a new community, a blessed community, a beloved community, a community meant to initiate a radical way of being in the world, of doing life on this earth. A community Jesus trusts will follow in his footsteps and incarnate divine love to a world hungry for hope and healing. Preaching professor Thomas Long reminds us that the community to which Matthew wrote this text had its share of arguments and disagreements and church fights and broken relationships. Not very different from 21st century folk. And still, I believe Jesus is asking us to look beyond our personal relationships into the wider culture in which we live. Jesus is calling us to see all of our neighbors, whether they're the ones that we agree with or disagree with, or even if the ones we don't even know, we are called to see them all as God's beloved children. And then, Jesus is calling us to live into this same ethic with them as well. There is more than one way to kill a person. I don't have to take a gun and shoot someone. My words, my attitudes, my discounting and disrespecting another can have the same effect. I can cut a person down to size. I can stab a person in the back. I can belittle and demean and criticize another and make that person feel worthless. As I was thinking about these lessons this week, I was caught by a report of the meeting of the Episcopal Church's Executive Council, which took place this weekend in Salt Lake City. The meeting began with presentations by Native Americans about the toll racism and discrimination have taken on them in the Episcopal Church today, not just in ages past. We know of the genocide of Native Americans in our American history. The presenters at the Executive Council meeting stated that deep injustices linger on today in forms like intergenerational trauma. But new injustices continue to manifest the centuries-old idea of Native American people's inherent inferiority. That the history, the old history, continues to plague the communities in forms and other actions, including the destruction of Native people's cultural heritage and the reduction of the Bears Ears National Monument in Utah, both of which continue to show a lack of respect for the dignity of Native peoples. When I read this report, I realized again that Jesus' words on killing another have much wider ramifications. Jesus is calling us into community, not just with our friends and those like us, but into a wider, global community. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers. We are called to love and respect all our neighbors as ourselves. And as our baptismal covenant states, we are to strive for peace and justice for all people. Jesus goes on to challenge his hearers about adultery. He's making clear that life is threatened when any person is objectified or seen merely as a fulfillment of sexual desire. Women, Jesus insists, do not exist for the taking, in spite of what some of our leaders have said. Jesus says that life is threatened when women are constantly reduced, discarded, based on their capacity to satisfy privilege and patriarchal needs. And he says that life is threatened whenever you do not follow through on the oaths you make. An important disclaimer. This gospel is not an indictment of any who are divorced, though any who've made the difficult decision to leave a relationship that was unhealthy or abusive or stifling. Our God is not happy when we are miserable. In other words, Jesus is saying that interpreting the law is far more complex than we make it out to be. And if our interpretations lead to death, the silencing of voices, the discounting of another person's personhood, the disrespect and demeaning of somebody, then if we're putting people down, then we have to think long and hard about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And these words that we hear today are applicable in every aspect of our lives, particularly in our communal civic life, because the gospel covers all of life. And then to add insult to injury, Jesus adds this exaggeration, this hyperbole about cutting off body parts and burning in hell. Jeez, you know, geez Louise. But Jesus is using a rhetorical device of the time to get our attention. If we were to take this teaching literally, tearing out our eyes or cutting off our hands, think about what the world would look like, you know? A whole population of dismembered and, broken people walking about. What Jesus is saying, that it's not only our actions that matter, but our thoughts and our intentions. Like that old Hebrew National hot dog commercial from some years ago, you remember that one? Jesus is calling us to a higher standard. Loving God and loving our neighbor is challenging, demanding, and very hard. I take comfort in a quote from Brother Mark Brown of the Society of St. John the Evangelist. I've read this over and over, and it just gives me all kinds of support and comfort. Brother Mark wrote, "Sometimes I imagine Jesus pondering the human condition down through the centuries and saying, 'What was I thinking? It's just too hard for them. They'll never get it all right. I'd better give them a free pass.'" And he continues, "There is a certain expansiveness in giving out free passes. And what could be more expansive and loving than God?"